This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Okay, we all are all online. And can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, good. Let's get started. Then a brief summary is from last week, and then let's move in. We started off really by commenting on the peculiarity, because very often, by the way, in a Mishnah and sometimes tomorrow, that which appears most peculiar, that which appears most odd at first reading, in fact, where the core of the issue lies. And what is most odd about the Mishnah is that word mikneh. To start the Masechet Kedushin, the of the relationship between man and woman, with an idea that is so commercial as kinyan, obviously requires some focus. And the Gemara starts off focusing on that. You've shown him, and I've heard him discuss, in fact, why the Gemara starts with mikneh. Why doesn't start discussing and taking the first word of the Mishnah? And one of the things we see is that this is what's glaring. That word mikneh, that idea of kinyan in the Mishnah, is glaring. The idea of kesef in the Mishnah is glaring. And that's really the centerpiece of the whole discussion. By the way, there was a suggestion last week that you can mute your telephones, which will cut out background noise or the accumulation of a lot of background noise. And I don't remember, Jared, you might remember Milt Simon told us how to do that. Star 5, was it?
I think if it's star 6, it does it.
Star 6 does it. If any of you want to do that, that's great, then you'll just have to unmute it if you want to make a comment. But for background noise. Okay, so we got into a discussion about that, and we noticed, in fact, even more amazing was Rashi's comment, where Rashi says not only Ha'isha Niknes, but Ha'isha Niknes Lebaal, or made very clear that this is a transaction that results in some form of ownership. That there is a baalus, there is ownership, different from the Meiri's use of the word lamekadesh. The Meiri says Ha'isha Niknes lamekadesh to the man who was mekadesh, or the betrothed, which makes more sense in a simple sense. But Rashi is coming to tell us, no, this word niknes is specific, it's deliberate. The Mishnah is being mechadesh, an idea in marriage, that there is an act of kinyan, there is an act of acquisition. Of some form, and we need to get to grips with what that acquisition is. We get some sense of it from the Rashi further on. When Rashi says the Kona is Atmo, that she can acquire herself, Rashi says, Lihiyos Verushusa Lihinofe La'acher, to get back her own authority to be able to marry somebody else. But clearly, the ownership that takes place at the moment of Erusin, remember again, all we're talking about is the betrothal, it's the Erusin. They don't allow to even live together yet, he has no rights in her yet. Nevertheless, is already called a baal. What does he own? He owns the rights of exclusivity. And if she wants those rights back again, if she wants to make another choice as to who to marry, as to who to be with, he has to release her. If he's still alive, he has to release her with a gift. What transferred to him, that's here where the idea of ownership applies, where she's actually transferred that ownership to him.
Hello, this is David Tibet.
Hi, David.
Sorry I'm late.
Okay, we're just summarizing last week.
Thank you.
Who's just joined us? Who just joined us? Also, it's interesting to notice in the Rashi that there's a difference in the way Rashi treats Koino is Atzmo. The fact that she acquires, or rather, even Ha'isha Niknes, where he says Laba'ala, notice when he says further down, about halfway down the Rashi on the Mishnah, Ha'yavama Niknes, Rashi says Le'yavam. He does not say Laba'ala, because after all, once the Yibum has taken place, is the Yibum not also a Ba'al? He's only a Yibum until the Yibum takes place. After the brother dies, Le'yavam. when he takes the Yavama, does he not become husband and wife? And why does Rashi not say there too, Hayavama niknes leba'alo? And in fact, there is a Girsa in the Rashi. There is a different Girsa in the Rashi that says that should read, or in other versions of Rashi, it does read leba'alo. But I believe that the version we have is correct.
Ephraim, sure. Sorry I'm late.
Hi, Ephraim. We're just doing some reviewing and joining. So if you look at the Rashi a little bit further, the Rashi of the Rio, you'll see that Rashi there says, Lihiyos ke ishtoi. He doesn't say Lihiyos ishtoi. And I think that this isn't specific to our Masechet, it's more to the Masechet of Yevamos. But I think it's interesting to note here that Rashi seems to be saying that the relationship between Yevama and Yovam is different from Ish to Isha. They are very similar, and that's why it's Lihiyos ke Ishto. But whenever Rishon or the Gemara Tzav uses the Chof ke, it means like but not the same, which means that she becomes a Yevama, becomes ke Ishto, but never Ishto. And he remains the Yovam. So that in the ongoing relationship, there is something still of Yovam. Their relationship is different. We might have an opportunity to talk a little bit about what those differences mean. But that would also explain why in the case of Yibum, as we're going to see further, that can be done Baal Korcho, even if she doesn't want the relationship. It's a strange halacha, and it's certainly not something that one wants to do, but theoretically, from a halachic perspective, he can force her into Yibum, because she doesn't have to want it, and nor does he have to want it. In fact, if either of them want it, there's a problem, because then there could be an issur of Eshet Ach, then there could be an issur of Arayus, one isn't allowed to marry or live with the wife of one's brother, even after his death, unless it's through the mitzvah of Yibum. But then it has to be L'shem mitzvah. And it might be that Rashi is telling us that L'shem mitzvah has to perpetuate the entire period of their togetherness. That they never ish and ishto, where there has to be rotzu. In the case of ish and ishto, there has to be desire. He must want her, and she must want him. That creates a relationship of ish and isho, or of Baal and isho. But in the case of Yibum, he does not have to want her, and she does not have to want him. They both need to want to do the mitzvah of Yibum. And that's why Rashi says, even after the act of Yibum, where the Orus would already be called Baal, the Yovam is still called a Yovam, because she is only Ke Ishto, she's never Ishto proper. So that's just a Heorah in the Loshon of Rashi, which would help us more in Yevamos really than it would do in Kiddushin. But let's go a little bit further. We talked about Shloisha Drachim, there are three ways that a man can acquire his wife or acquire those rights in women. And we talked about the fact that this isha that we're talking about is a halachic concept of isha. We're not talking generically about the female gender. We're talking about how isha, as Tosfos said, that isha referred to in the posuk of ki yikach ish isha, if a man marries a woman, that woman, that girl who becomes wife, that woman who becomes wife, that isha, that's who we're talking about. And she's nicknamed Shloisha Drachim. You'll notice on the left-hand margin, most of your Gemaras probably has Tosfos Riha Zoken. And Tosfos Riha Zoken says right in the beginning, nicknamed Labal Be'echod Mishloisha Drachim. She can be acquired to her husband in one of three ways, not in all three ways, in one of three ways. Just notice that for now. It seems obvious. It isn't so obvious, and we'll talk about it a little later on. And just to give you a dimension, a more Jewish type of dimension to it here, is that there is something of each of those ways that define the relationship between man and woman, not one of them, but all of them. And in that, there is the investment of material generosity, which is kinyan kesef. There is the communication of thoughts and ideas and feelings, which is shtar, and written communication. And then there is bio, which is the physical relationship. Those are three dimensions of the relationship of Baal and Isha. And you'll see we'll develop the idea further on, both halachically and midrashically, that these Yonim are not a once-off deal, that one has to acquire one's wife every day of the marriage, that one has to become a Baal, to be a Baal. It's different from any other kinyan. But in this kinyan, it's something that needs to be constantly renewed. And the method of renewing, although it says, as Ria Zokin says, that Nikna is Labal, the Echot Mishloisha Drochim, we'll see that, that's not necessarily so that there is an aspect of, in terms of pure halacha of the kinyan, at the time of the wedding, that's correct. It only has to be one of the three. But in terms of the of some of the deeper meanings of this, they have to be all three. One has to be able to relate to one's wife all three ways throughout the marriage, and we'll talk about that as we get a little bit further into the pairing. The next thing that we did last week was my original thought that there are two things that take place here. That the Mishnah is talking to us about kinyan, and we said that's the glaring piece of the Mishnah. But we learn also, we learn it on that day, but we see it already here in Rashi on the fourth line, because it's the shtar. There is a role and a need for a verbal statement. And we discussed last week what is the role of that verbal statement. And my initial assumption was that two things are taking place here. The one is an act of kinyan, a demonstration of ownership, and the other is something akin to a neder or to hekdesh, where there has to be verbal mention, there has to be a verbal statement. And the two things are taking place at a parallel level. Malcolm Radson from Johannesburg said last week that there's a Rebbe Chonin Wasserman who says something similar. I haven't seen the Rebbe Chonin inside, but I've seen it quoted. I don't think he's saying quite that. I think Rebbe Chonin is saying it is one of those two, and one can choose whether to initiate the relationship with kinyan, and the consequence of that is the sanctification process, or whether to initiate it with sanctification, and the consequence of that is kinyan. I think that's what Rebbe Chonin said, but my preferred approach is the way Rebbe Chonin, is the way the Baruch Ber explains Rebbe Chaim Soloveitchik, and that is that there's only kinyan here. This is about a kinyan, but it's a very unique kinyan. There's no other kinyan like it in the entire Torah. It's a kinyan about which there is a Gezeret HaKosuv, which the Brisa on Daf Hei makes clear. The Gezeret HaKosuv is this kinyan, in addition to a an act of kinyan. Who's just joined us?
From Milton.
Hi, Milton. In addition to the act of kinyan, there's a need for verbal expression. There's a need to say something because, as Rabbi Ber says, it's necessary that there is clear proof from either the action or the word what the intention of the man is. It's not sufficient for us to be able to figure the intention out from the context. And as we said last week, even if everybody's in the wedding hall, and he's standing under the chuppah, we've all had invitations for the wedding of Chaim to Sora, and Chaim gives Sora a ring that doesn't say Harayat Mekudeshesli. We don't use our own contextual understanding to say, well, clearly this is a wedding. He has to say it. It has to be evident from his action or from his words. And I suggested that the Mekor for that in the Gezeret HaKosuv might be the word Yikach, that the word Lekicho has two meanings in Torah. The one is Lekicho, a purchase, an investment. And the other is lekicha lekocho b'gavorim, the act of persuasion, when you move a person's position from A to B, not move him geographically, but move his paradigm from A to B. We use the word lekocho b'gavorim. He took that person, to take the person using words, is what is used. So here too, the fact that we use the word ki yikach implies a unique kinyan that has as a part of it, the act of persuasion, and we'll see the importance of this and the relevance of this as we move forward. Let's go a little bit further now. Let's go into the Gemara itself. Perhaps just before we do that, I did refer you to a running story. We'll come to that a little further. Let's get into the Gemara first. This is the Gemara. Ha'isha Nikne. Again, the Gemara starts with this, pointing out the strange Ha'isha Nikne. This word Nikne. So what does it mean? Where does it come from? Ma'ishna Hocha Detani Ha'isha Nikne. Who Ma'ishna Hocha Detani Ha'ish Mekadesh. But in typical Gemara fashion, the Gemara doesn't just leave it as an expression of amazement. What is Nikne? tomorrow backs the amazement up. Why are we amazed? Not just because emotionally it sounds wrong, but we have precedent for it to be different. Further on in the Gemara, we have the beginning of Perek Sheni, which starts by Ish Mekadesh Boi Rishlichot. A man is Mekadesh, and the word Kiddushin is used. And if the word Kiddushin is used there, why isn't it used here? The name of the Masechta is Kiddushin. We know it's referred to as Kiddushin. Kinyan really is only one part of it, but what's really taking place is Kiddushin. Why doesn't it say, for Isha Miskadesh? If you look at the first Rashi, Umayshna Hotsam Beferik Sheni, and what is the difference there in Perik Sheni? The Tana Ha'ish Mekadesh Boi Rishlucho, where the Gemara says, where the Mishnah says, a man is Mekadesh, either directly himself or using a shliach. In the same way, explains Rashi, Nisni Hocha, let us say here, Ha'isho Miskadesh. We're not suggesting yet that we should say Ha'ish Mekadesh. We're not suggesting we should say it exactly as it is there in the active form, the man is Mekadesh. Let's not get into the discussion of the active and passive voice. Let's focus only on the discussion, says Rashi, of word Kiddushin versus the word Kinyan, and we could have given exactly the same idea over had we used the word Isha Miskadesh as we in fact use those words in Perek Sheni. But from Rashi it appears it's a stylistic issue. We know from Perek Sheni that Kiddushin is used. Why use Kinyan here? The question is, well, why not rather off there? Why not say Ha'ish Kone Boyu Vishluchot? Why is the Gemara expressing its amazement on our Mishnah more than on any other Mishnah? There is a Tosfos Chachmei Anglia, which is quite interesting. It was a Tosfos, Bale Tosfos, who lived in England during the time of the Tosfos. And we have some of their Tosfos in some Masechtas. One of them is Kiddushin, and that's the Tosfos Chachmei Anglia. And they say an interesting thing. They say, the nickname Enoi Loshon Sach V'Nochi Be'isho. It's not a nice word to say nicknames as far as the woman is concerned. It's derogatory. It's just not a nice word to use. The mashmedinim keres, or the makone behemoth, the kone haguf, sounds as if he's purchasing her like a physical purchase of an object. It just isn't very nice. The eno isho kone isho elo mekadesho. And the truth is, a man is not really kone. He doesn't buy a woman. He's only mekadesho. And in that case, it would have been far preferable to use the word kiddushin rather than nickname. It's so interesting. But the Tosfos Chachmei Anglia is almost modern in its approach, saying it's offensive. The word kinyan is offensive. And why would it be used? The difficulty with the Tosfos Chachmei Anglia is the Gemara's answer, because it doesn't really resolve anything on that basis. So the Gemara goes on to say, this all revolves around the need to discuss kesef. One of the kinyanim happens to be kesef. The kesef minalan, and how do we know that kinyan is a word that when we're using kesef, that kinyan is the correct term? Gomar kicho kicho misbei efron. We learn a gezera shava, this point, let's assume it is a gezera shava, where in the Torah, where a word is used a bit out of place, and it's used in two different places. We apply many of the laws of the one place to the other place, so we mix the two halachas. Can you just have a sound that came from the phone, and I just want to check if you can still hear me. Can one of you just answer if you can still hear? Somebody release the interview. Let me know that you're there. Okay, I'm going to assume that you're still there and carry on learning. Let's assume that it's a gzera shava, which is kicho kicho b'steyer. In Ksiv Hocho, it says in our pasuk ki yikach ish isho. That's a strange word, that ki yikach. So we focus on the word kicho, ki yikach ish isho. Ksiv Hocho, and it says there in the case of stay Ephraim, I've given you the money. Take it from me. Kach mimeni. Sarah could just have said, Nosati kesef asode, and stop there. Kach mimeni seems to emphasize, bring our attention to that word kach, which enables us to learn a gezeira shova from the two. The kicho ikri kinyan, we know that kicho is another word for kinyan, because we have the pasuk in any event elsewhere that in the same parashah, sorry, Hasodei Asher Kona Avraham, it talks about the field which Avraham bought, and also we've got the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Sodeis Bekeset Yiknu, the fields can be purchased, can be nicknamed with Keset. So we see that the word Kinyan and the word Keset are closely linked. Therefore, Tani Ha'isho Niknes, that's why our Mishnah says Ha'isho Niknes. What the Gemara is telling us here is that the central piece of the Mishnah is not so much the idea of Kinyan as it is the idea of Kesef. Kesef is not just one of the Kinyonim that are used. Kesef, in terms of the Mishnah, conceptually in this Mishnah, the Kinyan Kesef, the method of acquisition using money, is absolutely fundamental to what's taking place at the wedding and to the relationship between man and woman. It's interesting, in Kinyan Kesef, we learn from a Gezeirah Shovah, the Rambam holds to be very sofrim, it's not a prophet or a writer, and yet it's the central piece to this Mishnah, and it's the one we use at weddings. Kinyan Kesef is the Kinyan that we use for Kiddushin. So we see from the Gemara that Kesef has much more of a central place than just being one of three. It's almost the prime one of the three. Of the three kinyonim, and that's what's crucial to it. Now, Tosfos holds that it isn't really a proper Gezeirah Shovah, and that's going to be important for us to understand. If you look at the second last Tosfos, the last Tosfos, please hold on the passage, I thought it kach memena. Eino choshesh elo shomotzei loshon kicho apagav deloy dami. The Gemara is not very particular here to find an actual Gezeirah Shovah. This isn't a true Gezeirah Shovah, because although the word applies in both places, the word is referring to something different in the transaction. The kicho dehocho kaima akesef shel sodeh. But in the case of Ephraim, he says, mafati kesef ha-sodeh kach mimeni, I've given the money to you, take it from me, meaning take the money. So the word kicho, the verb of kicho, applies to the object of money, not to the object being sold, but to the money being paid. The kicho de isha, loy kami akesef shel isha. And when we talk about the kicho of a woman, the ki yikach ish isha, we're not talking about receiving the money, taking the ring. We're talking ala isha atzma, we're talking about the woman herself. So it's not really an accurate Gezeirah Shovah. The Ritva says that even more explicitly, that this is not a proper Gezeirah Shovah. And that in fact, we've got, simply the word is being used which teaches us that kicho is, the kinyan is the appropriate term to use when we're talking about that it is a kinyan, there is an actual purchase that is taking place. Which is important to understand. I want to go into a bit of an understanding of the kinyan. What in fact is the woman's role in the kinyan? And the Gemara is going to ask further on why it's ha'ish miknes, why it's in the passive form, why it's not ha'ish mekadesh. We are going to say that the woman has to be midato, she has to be involved too. This is the kinyan where he gives the money and his intention must be clear. He's the person who acts and he must give the money. What exactly does she do in this transaction? And here we have the famous run in the Dorim which I referred you to. I don't have it in front of me, but I just copied out a few words from the run. Some of you might have seen it or even have it in front of you. The run in the Dorim on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, the Dibura Maskil, the Isha, a little bit down the way in the run, says the following, and this is really important. A lot of the Achronim use this run in their understanding of the Sugyas. The run says, Kivan Shehi Maskemes Lekidushe Ish, O Ish. Since she accepts, she agrees to the Kiddushin of the man, I Mevateles Es Dato Uratoino, she annuls her own will, in a sense. She makes herself subservient. She makes her will subservient. Umashvi nafsho etzel habaal kedover shel hefker. And she makes herself as hefker with respect to her husband. I'm hefker, I'm available. She gives up her right to be free to marry anybody and says, basically, I'm available to you if you want to be koineni. And then, habal machniso lirushuso. Then the husband is koineni, he takes her into his rishus. He, so to say, acquires her out of hefker. So the mechanism is going to be important. It's also important conceptually, and we'll see how and why. But even halakhically, the mechanism is important. So what's happening here is there's actually two stages. First stage is she makes herself as if she were hefker. She gives up her rights upon herself. She doesn't transfer the rights to him. She merely abandons the rights, makes those rights hefker. He acquires those rights from hefker using the kinyan. That's the Ran's view. But Rashi's view is different, as you'll see. Rashi holds that she is both subject and object in this transaction. She is both the person transacting and the thing being transacted. She is the subject who gives herself to the husband, and she is the thing she is giving to her husband. She gives herself. And this idea that a human being is always gavra and chefta is very important. It's something that I'm talking about at the Musa conference in New York as well. The idea Rabbeinu Tam mentions it in Sefer HaYosha, that we need to speak to ourselves. We need to relate to ourselves as someone else. You might remember the Medrash I've quoted often of Hillel HaZaken, where he talks about the fact that he goes to do a chesed when he goes to the bathhouse. He's doing a mitzvah. When he has a meal, he regards it as chesed. He's doing chesed to his neshama. He's doing chesed to his nefesh. So we've actually got to see ourselves as a being separate from ourselves, that our true self is something and somebody that sits a little bit outside of ourselves, and we can watch ourselves and manage ourselves in that way. And here too, the woman manages herself. She takes herself, or at least her rights to choose a husband. She's maskir those rights, and she gives them, and he is zoichet, says the Ran. Says Rashi, no, she is the da'at makna. She is, like in every kinyan, you've got a koine and a makne. Not as in Hefker. In Hefker, you've only got a kone. Hefker is something is ownerless. It doesn't have an owner. It's been abandoned. Its ownership has been abandoned. And you find this in the street, and it's Hefker. You can do a kinyan. You can lift it up. You don't need anybody's permission. But if you want to be kone, something that belongs to somebody else, you need their permission. They've got to be makne, and there's got to be da'at makne. There's got to be an intention to give it to the kone. You can't walk over to me and lift up my iPod and say, this is mine. I, the owner, never had any intention to transfer it to you. But if I have, and I make my intention clear, and I say to you, I'm willing to transfer, and then you do a kinyan, then of course you are koine. Says Rashi, the woman is makna herself to the husband. And you'll see that in Rashi in Kiddushin Daf Mem Dalad Amud Aleph and Ibu Ramaschil Midaato. Rashi says, the ba'inon da'at makne. The reason you need her willingness, her rotzen, is because you need that machne. He disagrees with the Ran. This is not being zoiche from hefker. This is a transfer of ownership from woman to man. She is the machno and he is the kohen. And where do we get this from, says Rashi in Yevomis. There's a Rashi that is in Yevomis, Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis, in Dibur HaMaschil Kiddushin Ba'alma. Rashi says, we learn that from the pasuk of v'holcho v'hoyso l'ish acher, that if she's divorced from her first husband and she goes and she becomes the wife of another man. So you see that she's active. Rashi learns from there that you need da'at makna, she's owner of her own independence, and she chooses to transfer that independence over to her husband and to give him that right. That's what's actually taking place at the moment of Kiddushin.
Rabbi Lappin, if I am sure, may I ask you a question?
Sure.
I'm trying to articulate it so it's very straight and clear. If in fact she is able to do this, which is to offer herself and declare that she is now being acquired, she doesn't have the same ability to acquire a man. I mean, I know we're going to discuss that in the next parak, but she only has the ability to be acquired. She can't acquire.
Right, she's correct.
So why is that? Why is it that the man has that, but she can, even though you're proving it from this ability now for going, we're using the pasuk to say that she going out from one husband to another, you can see that she can be acquired, but why does she never have the ability to acquire?
That's an important, conceptually that's important to the whole relationship with Ryan, and we'll work with it all the way through. That defines Ish and Isha. We're going to see that over and over again, defining the halachic concept of Ish and Isha. Ish is the man who can be koine and needs to be koine and should be koine his wife every single day, and she is the one who allows herself to be nicknamed, who gives herself up to him. And that's key to their relationship, both halachically, and we'll see that it's key to their emotional relationship, to their physical relationship, and to their spiritual relationship. So sitting to that observation, you're right. It's different from any modern Western idea of equality. Ish and Isha are two very different halakhic concepts. For them to have a relationship, their roles in that relationship are different. This is where the difference starts. He is the koine and she is the makna. She gives herself and he acquires. That defines Ish and Isha. That makes him man, and that's what makes him woman. If she were able to be koina, she would be Ish. She would be masculine.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll deal with that a little bit more. I'm going to need to stop very shortly. I think what I want to mention, and I'll deal with it next Sunday, Mr. Hashem, is on this whole question of whether it is a proper Gezeirah Shavah or it isn't, leads us to an interesting discussion as to what the role of this kesef is. Both in the case of the field and in the case of the woman. Is this really payment, or is it just a gesture? Is it just a symbolic gesture? And there is a taz at the very beginning of Choshen Mishpat, Simon Kut Tzadi, that we'll have a look at. And there's also an Avnei Miluim in Simon Choftes, Sukkot and Beis, that we'll have a look at. And we'll pick that discussion up on Sunday. Once again, I would appreciate it if during the week you can comment on the length of shiur that would work for you. As I said, this week I've got a shiur that I need to give at a conference, and my time is limited, but otherwise we could have it a little longer if that's what you would want. Also, any other ideas as to how this would work better for you. So if I can just check in if there's anybody who has anything to ask for the comments, and that would be a good time.
I'm sorry, any questions or just regarding the length of the shiur?
Any question on the content of the shiur?
I do. Can I ask one about, I know we said we're going to review that Tosafos and the idea of the strict Gezeirah Shavah next time, but can I ask to clarify that Tosafot, please, in Keinu Choshesh?
The final one, Eino Choshesh, Elo Shemoseh, Elo Shemoseh. Tell me what's troubling you about the other one.
Well, I just am not quite sure I understand clearly. I'm trying to understand what the problem is, why the kone of the field is not exactly the same as the kone of a woman. I mean, conceptually, I suppose I understand it, but what are the specifics on that? What is the problem there?
Just the use of the word. The issue here is, does the Gezeirah Shavah not only have to have the same word in both parshas, but does the word also have to be referring to the same object? So when Avraham says, sorry?
The same exact object? So in other words, in a Gezeirah Shavah, there's a question of actually, it may have to actually refer to the exact same object?
No, but to the equivalent object in that parsha.
Okay.
In the parsha of Ephron, the woman would be the field, and Ephron would be the makna, the maknesh. And the kicho in that case refers to the field rather to the money rather than to the field.
Uh-huh.
Whereas in the woman, the kicho refers to the woman, and therefore is that a real Gezeirah Shavah? Some Rishonim say yes, Tosafot says it isn't. We'll see the Rambam holds that it is a proper Gezeirah Shavah. Tosafot says it isn't a proper Gezeirah Shavah.
And the reason that it might not be is that in this case, maybe according to the Rashi, it could be because the woman is her own kone, she's her own machna. Is that the issue, that she might be on Vasana, and therefore it may not be a strict Gezeira Shava? Because it's not like there's an Ephron and a, there's not an Ephron in the field. She's the Ephron in the field.
You might have a look at that conceptually, but the reason Tosfos gives is a purely technical reason, that the word, the hyperlink doesn't work. That the kicho and the kicho and the two parashas have different meanings and therefore can't be learned one from the other.
Okay, they have different meanings. In other words, one is acquiring a field and one is acquiring a woman, and it can't...
No, it's the money. One is the money. One, in one case, kicho is referring to the money in the transaction, and in the other case, kicho is referring to the object being transferred.
The money is... Okay, the kicho is...
Okay, in every transaction, there's a koine and a makine. There's money and there's an object.
Mm-hmm.
Kicho in this case refers to the money, and the kicho in the case of the woman refers to the object, and that makes
it object. Okay.
Equivalent. Okay. We're able to learn a full Gezeira Shava, that there are things that we can learn from it.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to need to ring off. Thank you very much, and please, it's very difficult giving the shiur without getting live feedback, as you can imagine. So I'm just getting used to it. That feedback that you give me by email would be very helpful and meaningful.
Thank you, Rabbi Lapin. Greatly appreciate it.